This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. When it comes to attracting young users, brands often try to cultivate a sense of FOMO, or fear of missing out. One brand that's done that particularly well is Apple. Using features on its iMessage app, the company has made it clear who is an iPhone user and who isn't. That's helped convince lots of young people that iPhones are the must-have smartphone. On today's show, WSJ reporter Tim Higgins, who covers Apple, joins us to discuss how iMessage became one of the most popular ways for young people to stay in touch, and how that strategy could attract the eye of regulators. That's after these headlines. Many Turks are ditching the local currency, the lira, for cryptocurrencies. The lira's value has been plummeting against the dollar, losing more than 40% of its value in recent months. WSJ Middle East correspondent Jared Malson says this has led to a crisis of confidence, leading locals to look for other places to invest their money, like gold, foreign currencies, and even volatile cryptos.
It's a movement in society where people are looking around, they're seeing their money losing value, and they're looking for ways to make that money back or to make extra money. The government has been wary of cryptocurrency, and we're actually expecting a new cryptocurrency regulation law to be passed, although they haven't put out a lot of details about what's going to be in that law. So in general, there's a lot of concern among the people trading in crypto right now about what that could mean. Turkey also banned the use of cryptocurrencies for payments last year. So there is concern that there could be a more restrictive approach from the government coming soon.
Prosecutors in the criminal fraud trial of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes say they don't plan to pursue a further case on three charges that deadlocked the jury. The government also proposed a mid-September sentencing date for Holmes, who was convicted on four other counts of intentionally deceiving investors about her now-defunct blood testing startup. Each of the four counts carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison, but a review of prior cases indicates she's likely to get far less. That'll ultimately be up to the judge overseeing the case, who has wide leeway in handing down a punishment. And Apple's share price is reaping the benefits of the buzz about the metaverse. Earlier this month, Apple briefly became the first U.S. company ever valued above $3 trillion. That's despite the company revealing few details about its metaverse plans. Investors and analysts are betting that Apple will introduce extended reality devices like augmented and virtual reality headsets that have mass market appeal in the next year or so. That could help Apple's sales as more activities like shopping and working shift to the metaverse. All right, speaking of Apple, who's got the green bubble? We'll discuss how iMessage became the must-have chat app for young people and what it could mean for Apple long-term. That's after the break.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is, but relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
If you've ever used an iPhone, you might have noticed the color of text bubbles when you message other people. Blue for iPhone users, green for non-iPhone users. That difference is part of a strategy that's helped turn iMessage, Apple's texting app, into one of the most popular messaging platforms in the US. And it's made iPhones the de facto smartphone for teens and young adults. The latest survey by Consumer Intelligence Research Partners shows that among 18 to 24-year-olds in the U.S., more than 70% are iPhone users. Now, a lot of what we know about Apple's iMessage strategy came to light in an unrelated legal battle against Fortnite maker Epic Games over Apple's App Store. What the internal documents reveal during the case show is Apple executives chose to keep certain features exclusive to iPhone users. That closed system, or walled garden, is something competitors and lawmakers scrutinizing big tech have been raising concerns about over the past few years. So what do these new revelations about iMessage and Apple's extreme popularity with young people mean for the company? Joining us to discuss is our Apple reporter, Tim Higgins. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay, so maybe for any listeners who haven't used an iPhone or maybe just haven't taken advantage of all the features, can you just explain a little bit, you know, what makes iMessage stand out from other messaging services?
What iMessage is an internet-based messaging service that Apple has created among its devices. This can be text messages, this can be a way to share photos or videos. It is similar to the traditional text messaging, but it operates a little bit differently. It's its own kind of ecosystem. It still can connect with, say, a Samsung-made phone or another phone running Android operating system, but it's doing so through those traditional cellular text messaging. And so what occurs for the Apple user is a whole bunch of different features. If you were to text me with your Apple iPhone to my Apple iPhone, I could respond maybe with a thumbs up to signal I liked what you were saying, or a heart, and you would see this little annotation on the message. Or you could take a 3D-like kind of image of yourself that would look like a cartoon that would mimic your mouth movement, your eye movement, and you could say something, and that message would then transfer to another Apple user. These are kinds of things that people get really excited about, and those things don't transfer over beyond the Apple system, and that leads to some frustration among Apple users who like that. This is a phenomenon that we've seen with adults for years, but maybe perhaps not understood as well among teenagers and young adults who feel those peer pressures in kind of a more intense way.
Okay, and you spoke to some young people who are really into iMessage and using iPhones. Can you give us an idea of what they said about using Apple versus, you know, not?
I talked to a 19-year-old college student at the University of Michigan who did an experiment last year where she gave up her iPhone and used an Android device for several months. And almost immediately, among her group of long-standing texting friends, somebody chimed in, "Who's green?" And, you know, the idea that she had ruined the text bubble chain of blue and, you know, with that had lost kind of, you know, all of the benefits that come with being in that ecosystem. The group chats didn't work as seamlessly as before. FaceTime calls among iPhones were more complicated because they weren't all on the same platform. This young woman kind of described to me about how she realized that in a lot of ways, iMessage and the Apple ecosystem was a social network. She was connected to these other people, and it was very kind of hard to pull out of that.
So why hasn't Apple made iMessage available on other phones?
Well, it was part of kind of a savvy strategic play that the records that we looked at show. They came to that conclusion that having iMessage was very valuable. And in fact, one executive talked in an email that was sent in 2013 that, you know, allowing iMessage to be on Android would remove an obstacle for the iPhone families to giving their kids Android phones. This, you know, is kind of a savvy understanding of the power of that lock-in.
How valuable then is iMessage for Apple? I mean, it's a free app.
That's the remarkable thing is it's incredibly valuable. They don't really make money off it per se, but it is one of the many benefits of being in that Apple ecosystem that makes it so sticky. So it's part of the kind of the broader strategy that Apple has deployed over the years with the iPhone and its other products, the idea of meshing hardware and software and services.
Okay, so this strategy has helped them reel in a lot of users and a lot of young users. But, you know, having a chat app that's popular with young people isn't something new. So how do they eventually plan to keep them? You know, how do they keep young people in the Apple ecosystem?
Well, they in some ways have won a huge battle already just by grabbing such a huge percentage of young buyers in the U.S. That's huge. That's gold. Brands for many generations are always trying to win in the youth market because if you look at kind of the history of consumerism, once you're locked in early on, you tend to stay with what you know. And so analysts, as they look at this, think this gives just Apple such a strong foundation to grow upon. Beyond that, Apple isn't resting on its laurels. We know it's working to develop kind of the next generation of technologies, whether it's AR, VR, or a car, or ways to extend that ecosystem beyond just the phone and whatever the next generation is going to be.
So what are competitors doing to keep up with this?
Well, you've seen Facebook, Meta, now as it's known, acquired WhatsApp a number of years ago. WhatsApp is a dominant messaging service, especially outside of the U.S., and you see this is a global fight. iMessage is very powerful here in the U.S., but doesn't have the same kind of reach globally. Those are kind of the battlefields as big tech fights for dominance.
Is there a way for competitors to peel off Apple users?
Well, it's interesting. The iPhone, you see users use a number of different ways to communicate. So iMessage might be one of the base levels on the iPhone, but clearly young people are very proficient in using a Snapchat or TikTok or other social media platforms. And so there is a quilt, if you will, of ways that users are using the phone.
We sometimes talk about something called a walled garden when we're speaking about Apple's ecosystem. You know, you're sort of trapped, but you really like it in there. But this is something that lawmakers and regulators have been going after with big tech. So do you think these revelations about iMessage will change the way they look at Apple, or maybe how they try to go after the company?
Well, Apple has consistently denied that it holds an improper monopoly power in the smartphone market. And, you know, they typically will point to the intense competition globally they face, or in the fact that Android, the operating system from Google, is just such a dominant player outside of the U.S. But, you know, these kinds of insights into how Apple runs its business comes as lawmakers and regulators around the world are examining the power of big tech companies and how they operate. And kind of the core question that's there, you know, does Apple and other tech companies create products that consumers simply find indispensable, or are they building near monopolies that unfairly stifle competition? Apple, of course, would say no. Others might say yes. And that's kind of the era that we're in right now, is how big and how powerful are tech companies is the kind of question that keeps reverberating.
All right. That was our reporter, Tim Higgins. Thanks so much for joining us, Tim.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.